Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have the absolute most fabulous guest today, Mark Jones, who I have known for actually, I don't even know if we figured it out how long it's been.
I got in the business in 2012. I met you in 2013. So it's been that long.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute long. Or 10, yeah. Right?
And I guarantee I didn't have facial hair.
Well, I want to make sure that I say this right. You were with Premier Mortgage Resource.
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about that, because I've known you as a lender for many, many years.
Yep.
What got you into the lending business in the first place?
In the first place, I was working at a car dealership as a finance manager back in 2011-ish.
Okay.
Was doing great, but I didn't like the concept of having to get over on people. Well, not the work didn't scare me. The work, I've always been one to work for sure.
Yeah, I know that.
But the idea of having to get over on people to make good money, that didn't sit right with me.
Okay.
So at that point in time, I went and took all of my real estate classes, all of them. And I got to the end and went, this is not for me. My mom was actually a processor for Craig Jennings at the time.
No way. Yep. I did not remember that.
So I went, I talked to her and said, the real estate thing, I know you've done it before and I know we can make good money and la, 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 but I don't think it's for me. And she said, I think you need to go into lending. And I went, I think you're right. So I went and met with Craig Jennings.
Okay.
I was still working at the car dealership at the time. And I walked in wet behind the ears. And 2 hours later, I walked out of the office and said, if I pass my test, Craig said he'll hire me.
Oh, wow. So that is how you got your start. Yeah,
that's exactly
right.
Oh,
my gosh. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And so how many years has that been now?
Going on 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
2012. Am I doing the math right? I think so.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, don't make me do math on tequila.
Who's the lender here?
Exactly. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Who's on first? I'm not sure. Oh, my gosh. No, I mean, I did not realize it's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
Okay, so then I've got a question for you. How do you think that the lending industry has changed from when you first started, fast forward to now?
That's a great question. Lending, number one, has not changed in regards to what you need in order to purchase a home. You still need documentation. You still need proof of such.
Let me stop you on that, because I just had a client yesterday, in fact, just say, it's been a minute since she has purchased, and she said, this is the worst. I mean, literally, she said, I don't remember needing a retinal scan and DNA sample to get a loan. And so my question to you is, do you feel like the need for documentation, although always having been there, don't you feel like it's more these days? Or tell me about that.
I would say that it is more only because people's lives have changed in regards to what they're using as far as their financial instruments to save their money, what they're using to pay bills, that kind of thing. So it does lead to more documentation needed because, for example, we didn't have Cash App back then.
Nobody was selling crypto and trying
to use it to buy a house back then.
Yeah. When you started with the Kerr, I thought you were saying crack. I was like, oh my God, what the heck? I was like, no, nobody was using crack to buy a house. You surprised me on that one.
But as far as lending as a process, as an industry, it's changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Streamlined, obviously, margin compression has caused us to downsize in regards to bodies.
Yes.
And
yes,
all we're swapping out for machines and technology and things of that nature.
Yeah. Right.
The documentation hasn't changed, but the way that borrowers can get the documentation to us has changed also.
So how
much
does that,
easier?
How
much
did that
easier.
Change?
As before, let's say the first five, six, seven, my goodness, actually the first 8 years I was in the business, essentially you had to walk your documents into us. Type concept.
Right.
We dealt with big paper files. I was talking the other day with somebody and I told them, man, I miss those paper files.
You know what? I do too.
You know?
I do too.
Back when the lenders that I was working with at that time, shout out Hector Argometto, Adrian Trevino, all you guys.
Yes.
When they taught
absolutely.
Me, you just throw
Michael
the fire.
Kingsbury.
Michael Kingsbury. Yeah, that's no, right.
Absolutely. The OGs.
That's right. The thing around the office, or the joke that was going around, and I'm sure it was well before I got in the industry, was throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
Love it.
And I hated that concept.
Yeah,
it's like,
but
what?
Right. But it was kind of how it was back
yes,
then.
Yes,
so
until
I
one day
that.
I saw somebody throw a file against the wall and I went, oh, that's what that means.
Oh, that's a whole different level right, of, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, no, documentation.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, very cool. Very cool. So obviously you think things have changed quite a bit yeah. since you first got into the business. If you had to, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Please.
If you had to make a prediction
okay.
for this year, 2026, what would you say you see happening in this year? Because this year it started off one way. Yep. I feel like it's shifted, but I'm curious to see what you see happening moving forward.
I feel like we got a pretty solid shift last night or yesterday.
Yeah, tell
but
me.
But I won't
elaborate.
Get political, so okay. I'll skip that part.
Okay, but you can. I don't care. But I mean, I'm just curious again, because it's going to factor into what you
think.
Well,
here's the overall big picture.
Yeah.
For the last, let's say, 6 years, we'll segment the first four out of that six
okay.
into this la-la land of unrealistic expectations that were set for too long
yeah.
that ended up bleeding into the last 2 years.
Okay.
3 years, so
okay.
to speak.
Yeah.
And I believe we're now hitting a pinnacle, so to speak, of home renters that want to buy coming to the realization that this is real life.
Yeah.
That rate, that's going to be what it is.
Yeah.
It's not going to go back to the 0% finance type
right.
concept.
Yeah.
And people are starting to generate business.
People
yeah. are starting to yeah. ask more questions.
Right.
Now, in regards to consumer and what they have access to, they've got access to so much, almost
yeah.
too much in
right.
today's world. Yeah.
It's funny you just said that, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you is there a program out there that you feel like is very underutilized?
1,000%.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. Okay. Yeah. Do elaborate on that, because I want to know.
There's probably a couple, actually. So the first one that comes to mind and always does is USDA.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so many folks that are out there that will come to me and say, I want a bond loan. I want a bond loan or a grant loan. And I pull credit. They're over 640. DTI is pretty well in shape, under 40%. And I educate them on the concept of USDA.
Oh my gosh.
And
I'm so glad you brought this
like
up.
Mind blown when they see the same home that they would have bought using down payment assistance is actually a cheaper payment.
Yes.
And they didn't put any money down.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
That is, in my opinion, the one loan program that many lenders, especially the new to the business, probably haven't even experienced.
No, you're
doing
totally
a USDA
right.
loan.
And I'm, oh my yeah. gosh, I'm so glad I asked you that yeah. question, because I really didn't know what you were going to answer with. What's,
who knows?
Yeah, but you know, and you had no prep on this, so that's amazing.
Yeah.
What other program would you say is out there that's kind of underutilized?
I would, let's see here. Give me just a moment.
Yeah.
Let me think
no,
about
no, no,
this.
Because you had no foresight on
no.
what I was going to be asking you, but that's one of the things I love about it is it's on the fly.
So renovation loans, and I hate to say that, everybody knows they're messy, they're a pain in the butt, but at the same time, that
But can
is
they accomplish a goal
absolutely.
That is necessary?
In addition, they are, in many cases, a solution to the affordability issue that people are screaming about.
Yes.
It's like, if you really can't come to terms with the fact that you can only afford this amount, because
yeah.
that's the real problem, is
Amen.
their perception of what they can afford
exactly.
versus what they used to couldn't
yeah.
afford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're now able to go, hey, let's take that home, find out how much the renovations are going to be,
okay.
put your own taste on it, what have you.
Yep.
And now you purchase that home as your primary residence
yeah.
with the renovations complete.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that program,
sure.
because do you have to, and I think the viewers would want to know, do you have to know what you want to do? In other words, you have to really get dig in the dirt, so to speak, to figure out what does that look like so that you can figure out what's the total number, right? Yeah, you really absolutely. Have to make decisions
yes.
on how much are you going to spend for the various improvements, right?
And that is the toughest part when it comes to these
right.
is that they're not intended for first-time home buyers
right.
because they don't have that education and experience
right.
just yet to even know what they want to do.
I know.
But
I know.
That's when the realtor comes in play
right.
to advise.
Right.
The lender comes in play to advise.
Yeah.
And essentially they can get what they want.
Okay.
Now, mind you, like I said, it's not a program that you see first-time home buyers utilize.
Sure.
But at the same time, you also don't see very many lenders offering it.
Right. No, I really
you
don't.
Know why?
Yes, because they're probably a pain. Are they like
probably
a nightmare?
Because they don't know how to do it.
Oh, that's a great, that's an even better point. But they
so
probably.
So they then lead with, it's a pain.
Well, that's true. And they are a pain though, because I
no
want to give credit where credit
but
is due for you doing them.
When was the last time you had an easy deal?
Oh, God, I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
No, I think I was on Enfamil or
that's
whatever.
Right. That's right.
Whatever,
that's
a right. whatever a baby formula yes. is these days. It's
yes.
been a minute, you know?
We are earning our paychecks these days.
Oh, my. No, we are literally.
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, no joke on that. No, every deal, literally, I'm thinking, will I survive this deal?
Yes.
And I don't mean financially. I mean physically.
Mentally
I mean,
and physically.
No,
absolutely.
Mentally and physically. I'm not sure I'm not going to end up in the big house. And I mean Methodist. I mean Methodist Stone Oak. Or something like that.
In
you
the
know,
basement,
that.
Y'all. In
exactly,
the basement.
Exactly. In the basement. I'm not sure that it's not going to end up that way. So, no, those are just great, great information on those answers. I love that because I had not thought about either one of those programs in so long.
Yep.
And I love the idea of thinking about that. Having said that, do you have people that know about those programs? Or are those programs that you recommend?
They're programs that I recommend.
I figured.
1,000%.
Okay. Yep.
So every
yep.
borrower that I meet with gets a Zoom call after they've submitted their documents.
Okay.
Because I don't give advice on hypothetical situations.
Okay.
It's like, I want the real stuff.
Give me
the,
yeah.
you want
give
the,
me the
real answer.
Deal. Yep. Yes, exactly.
And
because if you ask a hypothetical situation, you get a hypothetical answer. Which is as
exactly
good as,
right. It's as good as nothing.
As
that's
good
right.
as the paper is written on, you know,
exactly
which is,
right.
you know, not.
That's true.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, that's, where was I going with that? Yes. You're
no,
right, Kim.
But, no. That's a great answer. But no, I do feel like borrowers in general, I think that they don't necessarily always know what they want
right.
or they don't even understand the process well enough to even know what to ask.
Absolutely.
Which leads me to my other question, which is, what do you feel like is one of the biggest problems that buyers have in terms of selecting a lender?
Okay.
In other words, what is a challenge that I think they don't take into consideration? What questions do they not ask that they should be asking when they're trying to figure out who to use for a loan? Because I feel like there's a lot of disparity
yeah.
out there.
That's a great question, and hopefully I don't get too long-winded on this.
Get long-winded.
Because the idea behind human nature, in addition to media marketing and everything else that we've been indoctrinated with, and it's not negative, it's just kind of the way of evolution in our industry, is realtors have always done most of the marketing, okay?
True, yes.
And big banks have done the additional marketing.
Right.
Big banks
yeah.
only lead with mortgage rate.
I know.
So therefore, it has shaped us or educated us to only ask for interest rate. Interest
right.
rate. That's the only thing that I care
right.
about.
No, you're 100%
and
right.
And after I meet with that borrower, we instantly go to the rate, nip that conversation in the bud,
yep.
and now let me tell you why the rate isn't the most important thing, because
right.
if you were just asking about rate, we would have missed this opportunity for the USDA loan.
Totally.
Or for the this.
No. So that's all great points. So tell me a little bit more about why is the rate, and I think I know why,
yeah.
but I want to hear you say, why do you think the rate is the not the most important question? It's a question.
Definitely.
But it's not the most important question. So what are some of the other questions they should be asking?
How much do I need to bring to the table? How much are my closing costs? And the idea, back to what you were saying about the rate, is I don't like the concept of marry the rate, date the home, or whatever it is backwards. But it has a bit of truth to it
okay.
in the sense of as long as you understand how interest works, especially mortgage interest, to where there's amortization and you're paying most of it up front, et cetera. Because if you look at a 3% rate, a 7% rate, you're still paying most of it in interest the first 8 years or so.
For sure.
Period.
For sure.
So what I would hope is that there's more buyers out there, more renters out there that are looking for advice on how to get rid of things like mortgage insurance, get rid of things like interest that you've paid total in the loan.
Right.
Making extra payments to your mortgage, being comfortable with the amount that you're having to bring out of pocket for down payment.
Right.
Because it's not just down payment. You've now got to worry about the, and I call them the oh-ish moments. I call that the reserve account for things that go wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they will.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, no, for sure. So tell me, how many people do you work with? Well, it's hard to say because it's a 30-year, typically a 30-year loan. Mm-hmm. How many people, when they actually buy and do a mortgage, intend to be there for 30 years?
Not a single one.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And I know that because that is one of the things that I make sure to cross when we're in our one-on-one
with the buyer.
Okay, let's be realistic. How long do you plan on staying in this home?
No, but a lot of buyers in their heads, they truly think like, I'm buying this house and this is going to be my house for my life.
Yes.
And
you know what? It may be, but it's not going to be your only loan.
Thank you. Okay, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And for the most part, it's probably not going to be their only house.
I agree, 1,000%.
Not to say that it won't be, because sometimes people do end up actually living there their whole life and paying it off.
But it's rare.
It is rare.
It's rare.
It is, don't you feel like it's become less?
Much less
common?
Yes. It was more...
Back in the day, our parents.
There you go. Correct. And it was because of the premise of go to school, make good grades, get a good job, live a good life, et cetera. And now we're seeing so many more opportunities of people moving to different states and being able to work for the same job.
Absolutely.
There's just so much migration.
Yeah.
And possibilities for migration.
Yes.
Whereas before, it just wasn't there. Yeah.
No, you're 100% right. No, I totally agree. Which leads me to my next question, which is on a refinance, what would you say are your guidelines, or what do you tell prospective clients when you think, what would trigger the need for a refinance, and what would that look like?
That's a great question. So I am not the typical guy lender that will just refinance somebody to refinance.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, it has to make financial sense. And that can be many different aspects, whether it's interest rate, trying to save monthly payment, pulling cash out to pay off debt. You're in a bind, but you still qualify and you need to skip 2 months. I've seen it from the gamut.
Right, right.
Whatever the goal is, that should be uncovered from that buyer. You don't just refinance just to refinance.
Right.
You know,
and is there a certain percentage of interest rate drop that you think at what point you should consider to refinance? In other words, is there kind of a marker?
Yeah.
What is that?
The half a point mark is kind of where everybody kind of goes,
Starts with? Correct. Okay.
But then you've got to look at how much is it going to take to close? Am I really refinancing this home that I've had for 5 years back out to a
30? And are you going to stay there?
That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has a lot to do with what are your goals.
Right.
Because then the refinance needs to be shaped around that versus a narrative of, I'm just going to lower my rate.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Maybe that's not their goal.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I've heard quite a bit on this recently, cash out refis.
Mm-hmm.
Because
are
I think
on the rise.
Yes, they are on the rise. And that's why I'd love if you would just talk a little bit about that.
So over the past, let's call it 6 years, especially in Texas, we have had an god-awful amount of equity being bestowed upon us.
Yes.
And a lot of folks have used that to kill mortgage insurance. A lot of folks have used that to unload and grab some of their equity.
Right.
And then there's another group that are going, you know what? I am going to stay in this home a little bit longer.
Sure.
Let me pull some cash out, pay off some debt, leverage over. And I've seen a lot of this pulling cash out to buy an investment property.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
And I appreciate stuff like that because that's what I'm preaching to every even first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
I have the conversation with a first-time home buyer every single time that talks about, would you like to buy a duplex, live in one side? I don't want to not tell you that you have that option.
Right. Right. No, that's a great point. How many of the buyers that you're dealing with in this current market do you feel like are looking for investment type properties, or are most of the people that you're working with looking for a, you know, they're going to be living in
primary
the property, primary property?
I would say about 6 months ago, it was investor heavy and home buyer not so heavy.
Okay.
In recent time, it has flipped.
Interesting.
And I think that has a lot to do with the sentiment of buyers today. Yes. They're finally going, okay, I can only hold on for so much longer.
Yeah.
I guess rates aren't going to change.
Yeah.
And they're coming to terms with it. Whereas investors, mom, and we're not talking institutional, we're talking mom and pop.
Yes.
That are
yes.
going, okay, if I just made that much equity in the last several years,
why would I not do that again? In an investment
that's right.
type situation.
Correct.
No, that makes great sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to switch topics on you a little bit here. Obviously, I know you're very, very involved in the lending aspect of things. What do you like to do in your spare time? Like, what do you do to try and separate your work fun kind of life?
That is a tough question for someone like me.
I know, which is why I wanted to ask it.
You know, I've fallen into, obviously, podcasting, video editing. That
you're
going to
take
stuff.
Away some of my other questions, but go for it. Because we can talk about it all at once.
In addition, I own a separate company, LoanBot LLC and ReviewMyMortgage.com. Essentially, those are direct consumer lead generation type companies, but we lead with education.
Okay.
We are currently adding more tools, more apps to the umbrella.
Okay.
So in my spare time, I'm building mobile apps. I'm building websites.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
showing realtors how to optimize, leverage all of their systems. I'm ADD, ADHD, like real bad, like AF.
Join the club. Yeah, okay. Join the club. So, I think we have a whole room full of those people right now.
So it's our superpower.
And, exactly.
And the idea of constantly doing something that's different, I love that about creating different apps, creating systems, helping realtors implement those systems.
Okay.
Obviously, my family, I spend a great deal of time with them, not as much as I'd love to, but I also want to be able to live the rest of my life spending more time with them, if that makes sense.
It totally does. Yeah. It totally does. And I appreciate all of that so much. And I'm so glad that you kind of delved into the podcast, which was going to be my next topic that I wanted to talk to you about. You have an amazing podcast. If you guys have not seen it, you need to check it out. It is Real Estate AF and Finance.
That's right.
So I just, and of course, I had the wonderful opportunity over New Year's to be on that podcast. Love your podcast. It's amazing. And you just had a major celebration for crossing over 50,000 subscribers. And now I saw it like this morning. I looked like exactly everybody is clapping in the studio here. That's an amazing, I mean, just what a fabulous thing that you've accomplished. And I saw this morning, like I looked at it, it was like 52,000. I'm like, oh my gosh, you not only crossed over 50,000, that was like 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And now you're already 50. I was like, that's incredible. So what gave you the idea to do a podcast, and how long have you been doing the podcast?
So we have been doing the podcast for 4 years. I originally started Millennial Market Talk podcast. We got to 10 episodes, and at that point I went, okay.
That was
2021.
2021.
Yeah,
okay.
When we did
during
that
COVID.
One. Correct.
Okay. Okay.
We shot 10 episodes of that, and it was essentially not mortgage related at all. It was just entrepreneurs that were millennials showing the world that we don't live on our mom's couch. You know, we're actually doing stuff in this world.
Or we try not
right?
to.
That's
we
exactly
try not
right.
to.
And from there, I decided, you know what? I'm not only decent at having these conversations, I am in love with having these intellectual conversations. I don't care if I don't make money at it. It's like free therapy concept.
Yes, right. I love that.
So I switched it over to Key Factors, which was essentially Key Factors of Mortgage or Real Estate.
Okay.
And then we switched it to Real Estate AF, where the AF stands for and finance.
I love it.
And
I love it.
The conversations have just been getting much, just, they're great.
No,
I love
that's
doing
amazing.
It.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So
no.
You said, what do I attribute it to? It's consistency. Truly. That
oh
is
my
just
gosh.
Being true to that consistency, whether I yes. feel like doing it or not, we do
yes.
it.
Yes. No, I love that. That's, I mean, all of that is so cool. I just, you're such an inspiration. Like I said, just an idol in that space.
Thank
and
you.
So I really have a major appreciation for all of your hard work and success, you know, in that venture. So kind of going back to the question I asked you just a little bit ago, I know you do the podcast. I know you do finance. You do them at a high level very well. What do you do when you shut your brain off for fun, as in, do you like to go to the coast? Do you like to travel? Do you like to watch TV, golf? Is there anything
all
like
of the above.
That? Oh, really?
All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not something in my life that is a go-to, so to speak.
Okay.
Escape. I mean, I can escape in a movie. I can escape on a beach. Either one. I do need the breaks every once in a while.
I wonder, just because when you're working at that level and so intensely, it seems like at some point you're going to have to damp down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you like Netflix?
Netflix I mean, and chilling is better.
Okay. Yes. Oh, totally. Totally. We like our chilling.
definitely that. I spend a lot of time with the kids. My daughter's in gymnastics, so I don't get to participate in that as much. But my son being in baseball, flag football, basketball, it's always
okay, so
something.
Tell me a little bit more. How old are your kids?
So I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. they're right in the throes of...
I mean, it's just, if it's not one thing,
teenager.
It's another for sure.
One of the things I love that you said, consistency.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it, and we haven't been doing it, like we've been doing it for a minute compared to you, but in the last 6 months, however long it's been, it is about showing up, even if you don't feel like it,
right.
even if you're tired, even if you don't, even if I haven't prepped,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It's just, you know what? It is what it is.
Right.
You show up, you do it, and you make it happen. And it is about that.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's why you've been so successful, because regardless of, like you said, even if when it's hard, even when you just don't feel like it, you still show up and you still do it. And so that's, to me, huge.
I think you and I both are banking on the fact that most people are not consistent.
Right.
You know?
No, 100%.
Because
you're
anyone
absolutely
can
right.
get their cameras. Oh. Anyone can get their, and do this.
It's easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
relative.
Not as easy as people think.
Right.
Because we've had some people that attempted it. And they're like, this is hard. I'm
that's
like,
right.
Yeah, we learned. Yeah, exactly.
Suckers.
Exactly.
Suck.
But they'll shoot a podcast or two and think, okay,
and then,
this is cool.
Amen.
But when you have to keep doing it
yes.
and doing it and doing it, it's like, okay, this is not as fun as it was in the beginning, but it's fun in a different way.
Yes.
It's fun in feeling like you've accomplished something.
Most definitely.
And that you're not giving up.
Yeah.
You know?
In addition, I'll add to that. The idea of not even new agents, just agents, lenders, anybody that is trying to promote themselves on social media, they think that there's going to be this one hit, what, like this
yes.
one post or this
that's
one
gonna
video.
That's going to take you to the next level.
It's just not true, guys.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Right.
I am a tech nerd, AI whiz, social media connoisseur, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it works.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Consistency wins no matter what the content.
Right. No, exactly. And there are just, I think, a limited number of people that are willing to do
right.
what it takes to be the consistent, you know, performer over time, because it's so easy for life to get in the way.
I'd say about 99%.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, that leads me to my next and last question.
Yes.
Which is, if you weren't a fantastic podcaster, if you weren't a fantastic lender, what do you think you would have gone into? What would have been another job or career that you could have envisioned for yourself?
I actually spoke about this recently with some folks, and it's hard to go back, obviously, but I also believe that me being younger, I like to say I'm younger.
In this room, you're a baby. We got a couple of babies in here, but.
No, but what I would actually have done, had the cards been dealt differently, is I would have invested more in educating myself on videography, on technology earlier on. Now, mind you, I know how to build websites. I know how to do stuff, but that came later in my career when the money residually was coming in. Right. And I was like, what do I do with my time?
Right.
Let me learn a new craft.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with it.
That's what I wanted to know is you have a passion for
it. Oh my goodness. I can lose so much time.
Really?
And all of a sudden I've got this beautiful video that's edited. Or
I know somebody else in this room that resembles that remark. I'm just saying.
My new bestie.
I'm just telling you, one of our producers, Matt Stigliano, AKA Lupus Thunder.
Yeah.
Totally. I can see would have been right there. Am I wrong? Yeah. No, I can totally see that would have been another.
The coolest part is I didn't have to pay to learn any of this stuff other than time. Now that's a great.
But that's a payment. Absolutely. And kind of like what we talked about a little bit ago is that you can make payments in life that are not necessarily always financial.
That's right.
You know,
but you're still paying. Yes.
You're still paying.
YouTube. Is kind of how I learned down the rabbit holes of each different creator and because there's plenty of information and people trying to share.
Yes.
And now I'm one of them. You know, it's a cool little circle.
It's a club.
Yes.
It's a cool little club. No, I love it. No, that is super cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, no, you've been an amazing guest. I'm super excited to have you on. And now we're going to start the next segment of the podcast. So buckle up. We've already done another shot.
Okay.
So welcome to the next segment of Feral or Fabulous, where we are going to have a new paddle.
Okay.
If you will grab the paddle. I have several things that I'm going to be asking you, and you're going to let us know whether you think whatever I'm going to tell you is going to be feral or fabulous. Okay?
And if I get it wrong, do you use this on me?
Well, you're going to have to do another shot, basically.
Will that make the episode?
We have to make sure we have enough Platinum Patron to get us through this segment.
Okay.
So this is going to be the next portion. So the first one I have for you, and I have no idea. As you know, we talked about this. I didn't even use ChatGPT. This is just my own warped brain. Watermelon.
Watermelon?
How do you feel about watermelon? Oh, I love it too.
I think it comes with genetics, guys. Just saying. You can't tell, but it's there.
If I take off the hat, definitely the genes. I'm telling you, I am obsessed with watermelon.
Yeah.
I had a guest on the podcast the other day, and she turned me onto this combo that I am now just crazy obsessed with. I had watermelon and blueberries. It has to be jumbo blueberries. It can't be just regular, you know, sized. It has to be the jumbo blueberries. And you take watermelon slices. It can't be the stuff that's like sitting in its own pool of juices. It has to be like fresh, you know, watermelon blueberries. And then you take Kelly's. It has to be Kelly's.
Okay.
Local hot honey. And you drizzle it over the watermelon and the jumbo blueberries. It's crack. It is crack in a cup. I am just telling you, it's so amazing. I love watermelon, and that's what made me think of it.
It's funny that you say that because within the past 3 weeks, my wife and I have discovered a new delicacy that we're just obsessed with, and it's the simplest, dumbest thing. And you guys can tell me if I'm late to the party, but frozen grapes.
No, I'm late to the party.
You're welcome, everyone.
Oh my gosh.
No joke.
No.
Okay, great. That makes me feel better.
I love grapes.
Same here.
I am so excited about this.
But you won't like grapes anymore unless they're frozen.
Okay, so how do you do that?
You literally take a bushel of grapes, throw it in the freezer, wait till they're completely frozen. Any kind of grape? Doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter, okay?
It doesn't even matter.
Because
we've tried it with all.
Oh my gosh. And you
so
just take
instead
them,
of
rinse
eating
them,
ice
put them in the freezer.
Yep. Instead of eating ice cream,
instead of
eating my PB&J, instead of all the stuff.
You've just saved me another 5 pounds.
I'm telling you.
I'm so excited. I mean, literally, I was frozen grapes. I was just telling them, I was so bad. Last night we had an event and I left and it was kind of late. Katie and I wrapped up pretty late. And this is awful to say this because I normally don't do this. I went to Whataburger And then I went and got a patty melt, not just a patty melt, a freaking meal. I got a patty melt meal that involved fries. It was the patty melt. I didn't know.
It doesn't count if you didn't get a Frosty.
Oh, I didn't. No, no, no. It's worse than that, Mark. Okay. No, it's worse. I actually got a patty melt meal. Say that three times. With a soda. And then I went to Andy's frozen custard.
You did it.
No, I doubled down on that mofo. I literally got I went to Andy's and got a chocolate custard that had extra chocolate chips where they put it as a drizzle and then it hardens in the custard. And I literally, I'm going to admit this. I couldn't get to the patty melt in the bag, but I was eating the custard on the way home and then sat down when I got home and I did it in reverse. Anyway.
That's awesome.
What can I say? So you're worried about frozen grapes. I've got way bigger problems.
See, it was that double dose of you know what, you know?
I know. That's so true. Anyway, that was
the
last night.
Thing to that on the grape thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Well, just ask your wife, right? I mean, just saying. What the heck?
Say no more.
Okay. Well, you knocked it out of the park on that one. That's that was awesome. Your first one. Okay. So now we're going to go to haunted house tours.
Okay.
So what do you think?
I honestly have never been to a haunted house.
Really?
Is that like weird? I've never been.
Not even like a tour, nothing?
Nothing.
Oh my gosh.
I've heard the stories of like the railroad tracks from my mom
back
in the day. I'm sure
you have
the baby powder and all
yes.
that.
Yes. And my husband and I, we went to New Orleans and they have a haunted house tour in New Orleans that is amazing. It is super cool. They take you to all these places and I felt the vibe. Like, I think it's a thing. But so for you, you just haven't done it.
For me,
are you scared?
Okay. I'm not scared.
You just haven't done it.
I haven't done it, but also I have this thing in the back of my mind like, okay, if it's real, why would they sell it for tourism instead of like selling it to science and start studying what the hell is going
on? Good point.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Totally. But you know what? I think they've done both.
I'm the guy that looks behind the curtain before anybody comes
in
the room.
How do they make the sausage?
Yeah, I'm like, okay,
what's really going on?
I won't tell anybody else, but what the hell is going on here?
Yes. Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay. Fair enough. Fair
enough. I've been that way since I was little.
Yeah. But you need to at least experience one official
Absolutely.
Haunted house tour.
At some point I need to because there's plenty in San Antonio.
Have you been to New Orleans?
I have.
Okay.
Matter of fact, my dad's side is from New Orleans, so I'm partially Creole. The black of me, that's Creole.
That's super cool. I did not know that. Very cool.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Well, I love New Orleans, so maybe we're going to have to make that a group trip. Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, Formula One racing.
Okay, I've never been, but I would love to.
Really?
I've seen the movie. I love the concept.
Okay.
I'm an adrenaline-type junkie.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, things like, God, like you used to do back in the day, wakeboarding, flyboarding, surfing, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Absolutely. Bungee jumping. Bring it
on. Okay, so you like...
Skydiving.
Okay.
The wife won't let me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel the same. I am not, I'm an anti. My husband was he was a Ranger. He was in the Army and he jumped out of, I don't even know how many, 100 jumps. No, thank you. I mean, to me, for fun, seriously, how is that fun?
Jumping out of a perfectly good plane.
Exactly. No, I don't think that sounds like fun at all. So I'm with your wife 100% on that. So,
but we do have an agreement that,
what is that?
We follow the George Bush trend, which is you do it when you're 90.
Okay.
So if I make it that far.
You know what? That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm kind of down for that as well. Because I feel like at that point, you know, it's kind of a death-defying
thing.
That's
right. Just let me go.
So what? At that point, whatever. However it ends is how it was supposed to.
If I don't have my finances in order by then, we've got bigger problems.
Yes. Real estate AF. For sure. At that point, that's the deal. That is the deal. For sure. Okay. So the next one, I have no idea. Brunch.
Brunch. I don't miss breakfast, number one, because I will typically miss lunch or I will typically miss dinner sometimes.
Okay. Well, it's better to miss dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, truth be told, but.
But a brunch for me.
Okay.
It sounds great.
Okay.
I've done it before.
But not your thing, necessarily.
I mean, I'm not going to call a buddy up and say, hey, you want to go brunch out?
Somehow I could have predicted that. I love that. I love that. But I'm a brunch person.
That's a good question.
I'm a brunch person, but where do I like brunch, Matt?
Mon Ami. Mon Ami's
in Las Vegas.
I love it.
Because my home away from home is Las Vegas.
Okay,
you know?
So now that you mention that,
yeah.
Our home away from home is Las Vegas as well.
No.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. I haven't paid for a room in probably 10 years.
Oh, my God. I did not know this. Okay, do tell. Yeah.
We got married in Vegas.
No, I did not know that either.
Honeymoon in Vegas. Weekend trip Vegas. It's the only place you can go and actually pay for your own trip.
Okay. Like, I'm already seeing our next trip. I'm already seeing everyone in this room.
So now if you're asking me plus brunch spouses. During Vegas, it's a must.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Game on. Yes. Game on. We've just reset the bar.
Set the bar.
We are definitely making a trip to Las Vegas. We will have a joint podcast about the trip. And then what stays in Vegas will not stay in Vegas.
It'll come back on our podcast. That's awesome. I'm game. I'm totally game.
I think we need to do this because you know what? I'm approaching that era of life where I feel like I want to have those big hurrahs.
Yes.
And this sounds like a big hurrah.
I agree.
I'm
Kristen
game.
Would love it. My wife would love that. Yeah.
I'm so excited. And I know my husband, Dave, will be totally down for this. And I kind of think the producers are game. I think they're game. So I think Caesars is calling our names.
Amen.
So we'll have to give Tracy a call. Tracy is our host.
That's your host.
That's our host.
Very good.
Tracy is on speed dial. So we must make this happen. So
I'm super
excited about that. Okay. So we will be brunching soon at Mon Ami Gabi.
We'll brunch real in hard.
Las Yes, we will. Definitely. There's a lot of things in Las Vegas we will be doing. So I can't wait. Awesome. Okay. Singing.
I love singing.
You do?
I absolutely love
that.
I did not know that. That's something that most people don't actually know about me. And I'm surprised that you even mentioned that.
Mark, I had zero knowledge of that. I just literally my brain. That's what my brain said.
If I had a second thing that I would grow up to be, that would be the thing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Don't tell anybody.
I love that. That is so amazing.
So my mom, she does karaoke all over San Antonio. She's actually pretty damn good. She's tried out for American Idol, America's Got Talent, all that. She's pretty good.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
I'm halfway decent.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My brother is a professional musician.
Okay.
He tours, all that. He's a saxophone player. He has his own band. I will absolutely, because he plays at Green Hall a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to get you to sit in and you're going to sing on one of his sets.
Holy shit,
this must happen. This must happen.
You're going the wrong way.
No, absolutely. Okay. This is going to happen.
I'm
so excited. Now we have a Las Vegas trip.
Yes.
We have another Green Hall and you will be on the mic at Green Hall. I'm like, this is like
what
Mark
is that,
Jones and company.
Step Brothers? Did we just become best friends?
I think so. I think so. I'm so excited.
There's so much room in here.
This is exactly. This is 2026 is like going to be freaking amazing.
That's awesome.
I'm like so excited. Okay. This is awesome. This has made my whole year. So I'm super excited. Okay. My last one. You ready for this?
Yep.
Playing the lottery.
I don't play the lottery.
Okay.
Damn it. And I should because I'm the guy that says, well, you can't win if you don't play.
Absolutely. I love that you said that because so many people said, I'm not going to be able to do that unless I win the lottery. I'm like, did you buy a ticket?
Exactly.
Because a lot of people have that thing that they're like, they're counting on winning the lottery. And I'm like, here's the thing. Kind of like consistency with a podcast. If you don't, I'm going to give something away. Secret tip, if you don't buy a lottery ticket, you're not winning the lottery. I'm just going to clue you
That's
in.
So true.
That's kind of a thing. Yeah. So anyway, but you don't play the lottery.
I don't play the lottery, but I do gamble.
But I love gambling. I know. That's so crazy.
I don't know if it's because I don't see lottery as a gamble. It's more of a donation.
But you're donating to our state.
Absolutely.
For the kids' education.
We don't collect state taxes, but they take plenty of us property-wise.
They do.
They
get us one way. We do our part. Yes, we do. Well, you have definitely done your part in a major way, and I appreciate you being on this so much. This has been an amazing podcast. Thank you so much for being on, and I look forward to our next visit. You are definitely a friend of the podcast.
You will
be coming back on a regular basis, and I look forward to it. So thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of Feral or Fabulous. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.